Finish up Psalm 60 today. We've been looking at, and we'll take up something else until Diane gets back, and then I'm planning on starting Colossians. Well, I may not finish that by the time she gets back, so maybe it'll be a little bit after that, but we'll be working on it and going from there. Well, we have been looking at Psalm 60 past three weeks, I guess now, and the psalm speaks of God's chastisement, and it also speaks of the deliverance of his people. And as we looked at the psalm, we saw in the first several verses there, it speaks of God's chastisement. To the chief musician upon Shushan the victim of David, to teach, when he strove with Aram Naharaim and with Aram Zobah, when Joab returned and smote of Edom in the Valley of Salt, 12,000. O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Again, when the troubles come and the problems, there's enemies. But, you know, everything comes from God's hands. You know, David realized that, you know, that this wasn't because of, you know, his internal problems with the followers of Saul or with the external problems of those around. You know, there was an issue with God. God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. Picking up verse 2. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches of, for it shaketh. And again, the only solution and the only remedy that's lasting and that's true comes from God. You know, it's not politics, not arms, not anything else. And again, not that we're not to be divorced from those things, but to realize that God alone can heal the breaches thereof. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Well, been a long time since I've ever have literally felt such effects from, you know, wine of astonishment. But brother, I tell you, this day and age in which we live, it's confusing. I mean, we don't know what's going on. I can't understand it. Brother Preffel was talking, even sometimes with our own family members, it's like, you know, how do people think this way? It's amazing. Astonishment. So God chastises his own people, but God delivers his own as well, as we looked at the next couple verses. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of truth. Selah. Again, thinking of the banner of God. And I think that maybe the next couple weeks we'll talk about the gospel banner and the gospel itself. And there's so much confusion about that. You know, what is the gospel? Some folks have some weird ideas about that, but you know, what does the Bible talk about? But God's given us a banner. We ought to stand under that banner. We ought to stand for that banner, and we ought to draw comfort from that banner. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of truth. Selah, think about that. That thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and hear me. And it's always right to call upon the Lord. We may be confused. We may not understand what's going on. But it's always right to cast ourselves upon the Lord. And whether it be the child of God or whether it be a sinner that's under conviction of the Holy Spirit, it's always safe to cast yourself upon the Lord. And then God brings triumph to his own. Beginning in verse 6. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and net out the valleys of Succoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine hand. Judah is my lawgiver. God gives triumph to his people. And again, that one of my favorite verses of Scripture, I'm sure you know by now, is over in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, where we read, now thanks be unto God which causeth us always to triumph in Christ. Thanks be to God which causeth us always to triumph in Christ. and maketh manifest, makes known the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. Now, the sweet savor of Christ to God, when his people are used as he intends them to be, when he sends them forth in triumph, and them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, to another a savor of life unto life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. God brings triumph to his own. You know, God has spoken these things, and that's all that we need to know, as again David says there in verse 6. God has spoken in his holiness. Like I mentioned last week, some folks say, well, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, God said it, that settles it, whether we believe it or not. God is sovereign. It's not dependent upon, you know, what I believe or upon what I think. But the child of God knows that by the grace of God, and he can rejoice in that. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. God promised things to David. God promised things to Israel. God promises things to his elect people. It's settled. And in a particular case here, God promised the land to Israel, and he promised the kingdom to David. And he promises all things to Christ and to his chosen ones. And it'll be accomplished. Genesis 15:8, and in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. Now, did God promise those things or not? Is he going to give them to the seed of Abram or not? There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. 2 Samuel 5:12. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. You know, God established David. He said, you're going to be the king. And even though there were tribes in rebellion, it didn't matter. I mean, David didn't know exactly how it was going to work out. He didn't know what might intervene, and he still had to, you know, be involved in the struggle. But he perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel. You know, God brings triumph to his own. He accomplishes what he promised. Matthew 11, verse 27. All things, the Lord said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. You see, that which was promised to Christ and is promised to those whom the Father will reveal it. It will be accomplished just as surely as David ruled over Israel. God will bring triumph to his people, to us. None of those promises could be overturned. You know, folks can talk about replacement theology and something happened and so God, you know, decided to do something. No, God made a promise. And God will accomplish that promise. And faith is happiest when it falls back on the promise of God. Again, God has spoken in his holiness. You know, you'll hear the kind of foolishness around, as particularly about religious and spiritual matters. Folks will say, well, it don't matter what you believe, just so long as you believe. What in the world does that even mean? You know, what David believed was not just whatever he wanted to believe. Didn't matter, David. Didn't matter just so long as you believe. No, God has spoken. David believed the word of God. Faith is truly fulfilled only when it has a proper object. And that object is the word of God. It's not just, well, don't matter. Just as long as you believe. Have you heard people say that? I mean, I grew up hearing people say it. Don't matter where you go to church, just so long as you go to church. Or synagogue, or the mosque, or whatever. It just don't matter as long as you do it. It does matter. And David believed what God had said. And David knew, even though there was rebellion internally, David knew that those tribes and those regions that were opposing him would come to acknowledge his legitimate authority and that he would rule over them. And so he says, I will divide Shechem, Med out Succoth, Gilead is mine, Manasseh, Ephraim. And he's speaking here of the tribes of Israel throughout the expanse of Israel, Judah, the southern kingdom. Benjamin included in that. Judah was the lawgiver. We read over in Jacob's prophecy that was given of the Lord in Genesis 10, verse 4, Genesis 49, verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering, shall the gathering of the people be. Again, prophetically speaking of Christ. You know, those things will come to pass. Judah will be the lawgiver. God will accomplish those things. It doesn't matter what men do. It will be accomplished. It doesn't matter what popes may say, or priests, or cardinals, or conventions, or associations, or ecclesiastical rulers. No, Judah is my lawgiver. You know, what comfort to know that, you know, the Lord's spoken. God has spoken. I will rejoice. David hadn't received it yet. And there's a lot of them that the Lord has promised his people that we have not directly received yet. But brethren, we can rejoice in it. It's coming more surely than the sun coming up tomorrow. Something might happen. Something might come up tomorrow. Don't matter. The Lord's still going to fulfill his promises. And beyond, again, the subjection that was to be internal because of the friction that was there, we see in verse 8, Moab is my washpot. These were the external conflicts that were about. Moab is my washpot. Moab will be the lowly servant, the pot that the master washes his feet in. 2 Samuel 8 and verse 2. And he smote Moab and measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground. Even with two lines measured he to put to death, and with one full line to keep alive. And so the Moabites became David's servants and brought gifts. Now they were a problem now, and he was facing this external conflict. But David knew that God was going to fulfill his promises. And so David says, Moab is my wash pot. Over Edom will I cast my shoe. Edom was the servant to whom, you know, the master throws his shoe and that he's to clean and to polish it. He goes on. And Philistia, or the Philistines, triumph thou because of me. Philistine, the ancient enemy of Israel, would become a vassal state. Would be required to show their allegiance unto David. Yeah, all things would be David's. And the reality is that all things are Christ's, and all things are ours in Christ. Now these things were going to be fulfilled externally, internally. 1 Corinthians 3:21. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. For all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Yeah. We get all flustered and worried about things, Brother Dale. Things Brother Dale was, you know, referring to in his prayer. It's like, you know, it's going to be okay. Yeah, I know sometimes you wake up in the morning, you read the paper, and you say, it ain't going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And David was in a lot of turmoil when he wrote this psalm. I mean, there was again rebellion at home. There was conflict externally, and yet David says, "God has spoken in His holiness. I will rejoice. I will rejoice." You know, this too will pass, and God's promise is going to be fulfilled. And so God brings complete victory to His own. Verse 9. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, which hadst cast us off? And thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies? You know, even though there was God's chastisement, God's promise still remained. David said, who's going to bring me to triumph? Who's going to bring me into this strong city? Who's going to lead me to Edom? Won't you be the one that does it, God? Even though you've cast us off, even though you didn't go out with our armies and we suffered defeats and conflicts, give us help from our trouble. For vain is the help of men. Through God we shall do valiantly. For He it is that shall tread down our enemies. David said the last stronghold is going to be overcome. Brethren, we're promised ultimate victory. I mean, I know the mess that's around us here today, but you know what? I skipped ahead to the last chapter of the book, and I know how it all ends. David, at this point in time, had experienced some victories, but there was still the fortified city that seemed to be beyond the capability of David, that seemed beyond his resources, that seemed beyond being taken, humanly speaking. 2 Kings 14:7. He slew of Edom in the valley of Salt 10,000 and took Selah by war and called the name of it Jokteel unto this day. And just as David witnessed the tearing down of the strongholds and the victory through God, the Christian, you know, has the same promises. We have the promise of the tearing down of the fortified cities and the taking of the strongholds. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 25. For He must reign till He hath put all His enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Brother, for the child of God, the enemy death is destroyed. You know, the Lord tarries, our physical bodies will die, but He's won the victory over that last stronghold that seems to hold man. 1 Corinthians 15, down in verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I can't remember who it was now. That's terrible. It just come to mind. It might have been D.L. Moody, or it might have been a more orthodox person. But anyway, he said, you know, someday you're going to read in the paper. Might have been Harry Ironside. I can't remember. But he said, someday you're going to read in the paper that Harry Ironside's died. He said, don't believe it. I'll be more alive than ever. You know? I'll be more alive than ever. 2 Corinthians 10, 4, 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so David says, who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God? Through Christ, the victory is ours. David understood these things. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. David was given to understand a lot of things. He didn't understand a lot of the details that we've been given, but you know, he had his faith in God's word, God's promise, and God's coming Redeemer. He had his faith in the in Judah, the lawgiver, in that one that God had promised. The victory's ours. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You see, that's the truth. Our trust is in God. On the flip side, David refers back to that, again, we kind of sometimes fall back into because of our flesh. In verse 11, David said, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of men. Of man. Brother, there's times that, you know, there's circumstances, you know, that we're beyond human help. A lot of folks think that about me, you know. He's beyond help. And that's true. Don't matter. David said, look, I've looked at all these things, and there's no way we can overcome it. Vain is the help of man. We experience those, and if we haven't experienced them, we most certainly will. And yet, you know, it's kind of alien to our humanistic society. It's like man's the answer for everything, right? And science is the answer for everything. You know, I put my trust in science. I put my trust in man. That's always disappointing. David realized that. For vain is the help of man. In particular, you think of the matters of eternal salvation. Man can't do anything. He's of no help. I mean, vain means empty. That means a little bit of help. Vain is empty. It's without help. There's nothing there. But victory is assured with God. Verse 12. Through God we shall do valiantly. For he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Victory is the Lord's. Our trust needs to be in him. So well had David, you know, as a young fellow, spoken to, he had a literal giant to face. You know, we say, oh, we have giants to fight. We have, you know, we have giants to face. But David faced a literal giant as a little fella. Or at least a young man. He may not have been real little, I don't know. 1 Samuel 17, verse 47. David said this, standing out there all alone against this huge Philistine and all his armor and with all his bluster. David said, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth. Not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. The battle is the Lord's. And it doesn't mean we're not to do anything. David went out there and kicked out 5 smooth stones. You remember that? Well, he didn't need all 5 of them, did he? But he was doing what he thought God would have him to do. We ought to prepare. Maybe we're just going to need that one smooth stone. And the Lord's going to be the one that guides it right where it's supposed to go. But David picked out 5 smooth stones and he prepared himself and he knew his old equipment and he knew how to use it. But none of that really mattered. David understood that. For the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hands. And here's David many years later, having been through many struggles and through many experiences of life. And again, he's facing difficulties. I mean, there's civil war at home. And there's the enemy at the borders. And yet David says, through God we shall do valiantly. For he it is that shall tread down our enemies. All those years, it's still the same principle. Things don't change. Oh, the enemy changed, and the appearance changed, and the terrain changed. But you know what didn't change? God. God doesn't change. Through God we shall do valiantly. For he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Moses, you know, is out in the wilderness with Israel. And they face enemies. They face difficulties. In Exodus 14, verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, for he will show you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Facing terrible enemies, conflicts. Most mighty army in the world. The terrain changes, the enemy changes, but God's the same. And so it is, as we've seen in this song. God may well chastise and scatter his people, but he does not utterly cast them off. If it be the elect of God, or if it be, I believe physical Israel. And again, that's a picture to show us, again, the veracity of God and the faithfulness to his promises. I believe he's going to fulfill those things. Hebrews 12, familiar verse that relates to this, in verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint thou when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God deal with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Now God chastens his own. And David was experiencing some chastening, and yet he understood in the midst of that God never departs from his own, and that God brings ultimate victory to his own. It's God whom we trust for the victories of life. And again, yeah, we're supposed to prepare. David was a prepared military man. David, even as a young boy, prepared for what was before him. But he understood that it wasn't the help of man. It wasn't human manipulation. It wasn't human politics. It wasn't human armament. But it was God that would bring the victory. And we who are beloved of God. And we can trust him for the ultimate victory. We can trust him for the pulling down of those strongholds that are in our lives. We can trust him for overcoming that last enemy, which is death. We can trust him. And I don't know what else to preach. Seems like all my messages are about that, isn't it? You can trust God. You can trust him because he's sovereign. And that other Old Testament saint that learned that lesson, another one of my favorite passages, over in Job 13:15. Job suffered all those things. He didn't understand it all. I'm sure he drunk the wine of confusion. He's just, well, what's going on? And yet Job says in Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. He said, even if he slays me, I'm going to trust him. And I'm going to do what he told me to. I'll maintain mine own ways before him. I'll keep on keeping on. I'll keep on doing what he said. I may not understand what's going on. It doesn't matter. You can trust God. What a glorious What a glorious message from this psalm. What a glorious message from David's life, from Moses' life, from Job's life. You know, that's what it's about. We can trust God. And I pray that we might go forth in that trust, and that we might go forth and be used of Him as we see those strongholds pulled down. Let's take our hymnals today, and we stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 350, O Come Ye My People. Number 350. Father, how wonderful it is to serve a sovereign and loving God. Lord, to know that we can rejoice even as your servant David did, because you've spoken. Lord, you've spoken and it shall be done. Lord, we're thankful that your victories, they, Lord, the victories that you allow us to experience ourselves, are not dependent upon the vanity of men. Father, may we be, by your grace, faithful servants. May we go forth and confidence and obedience having received your promises. Thank you, Lord, for the victory that's yours. Thank you, Lord, for the lawgiver of Judah, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for his atoning death, for his all completed sacrifice, for his victorious resurrection. And Lord, thank you for that eternal love that allows us to be recipients of the benefits of those things. Father, I pray your hand upon each of us as we go forth from here, that you use us to your glory. I pray in particular your protection upon my dear wife as she travels far away. That you keep her safe, that you watch over her, that you bless her time with our daughter, and that you return her to us safely. Just thank you, Lord, for all that you accomplish and do through your people. Thank you, Lord, for our fellow churches, for the fellowship of the saints. We just pray your hand upon all your people, even as we surely know it will be. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.